Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you to open our understanding today and fill us with faith in what you want to do in this world so that we can exercise it and overthrow that which you want overthrown. And Lord, we know you've given us authority and dominion underneath Jesus over all the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and every name that is named in this world and that which is to come. So we thank you, Father, that you are going to put faith in us today to exercise your authority and bring to pass what you have chosen, which is a deliverance of your people from under the dominion of bondage, and to go through their wilderness. And thank you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first, I want to remind you of something that just as the Bible shows that there is a parallel between Cyrus, who the Lord has revealed to us as Trump, and the man-child, there is a parallel between the Red Sea and also Babylon's deliverance of God's people. Okay, so, you know, Cyrus and his army is the Red Sea. I've been saying for a while that the Red Sea is still going, and I believe it will go until the man-child shows up. And the sign that's in the heavens on September the 23rd, whenever that sign is fulfilled, it could be fulfilled right there or shortly thereafter. But I believe when the man-child shows up, we'll see the end of this Red Sea. But if you remember, the voting map was mostly red, and the blue had been relegated to a few spots in the West Coast, and so the Red Sea began to conquer Pharaoh's army. And you know, Pharaoh, obviously you've seen pictures on the internet of Mr. Obama dressed up as Pharaoh. He is Pharaoh, but he is also the king of Babylon. So there's a parallel here between what happened in Egypt and what happened when Babylon was conquered and God's people were set free, just as it was in Egypt, to go through the wilderness to their promised land. There's a perfect parallel. God mixes types in the stories of Cyrus, for instance. He mixes the types in and out of the Red Sea and of Pharaoh and of Egypt and also Babylon. When he's talking about Babylon, he applies the Red Sea to it. And that's very interesting. We're seeing the Red Sea continue to take down Pharaoh's army, Obama's army. We're continuing to see this. And I believe it's going to last a few more months. But first I'd like to talk to you. Well, first I'm going to, you know, read a few verses that are, you know, that you're familiar with concerning Cyrus and what God planned for him. And I want to say that you need to continue to support Cyrus and the man-child ministry in your prayers, and exercise the authority that God has given you. Because what God says through a good bit of Isaiah, he spent a lot of time in Isaiah, say 40 through 49, speaking about Cyrus and what he was planning to use him for and how he was planning to do this wonderful deliverance for God's people. And so, you know, many people understood this, and they prayed for Cyrus and or Trump, and but they don't necessarily know about the man-child, who is the power behind Trump or Cyrus. And let me share some of that with you. I want to start in Isaiah 44, 24, and I'm going to read down through part of 45. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens, that spreadeth abroad the earth. And who is with me, that frustrateth the signs of the liars, and maketh diviners mad? Boy, I tell you, the Lord did that when he put Trump in there. There was a whole lot of people that were speaking against this. And before the Lord showed us that he was going to do this, we had already received from him the revelation of what the king of Babylon, or the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, was planning to do with God's people. He was planning to make war on the saints 3.5 years early. So we realized that, and we prayed against it, and, well, everybody sees the results. But verse 25, that frustrates the signs of the liars and make diviners mad, that turneth wise men backwards and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited. Well, Jerusalem was the Jerusalem, the one from heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem, is the one that's going to be rebuilt. The earthly Jerusalem had to be born again, and it fell away, and it's totally corrupt today. So there's a time when God starts building this heavenly kingdom, and he starts laying the foundation with the man-child, just as we see in Scripture. So, that saith of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and of the cities of Judah they shall be built, and I will raise up the waste places thereof, because they're waste, because the king of Babylon had conquered God's people. God's people have all been in Babylonish captivity. But the Lord's going to change this. I mean, Babylonish harlot religion captivity, you know. But the Lord's going to change this. He's bringing his people through the wilderness to the promised land, which is where they should have stayed. They shall be built, and I will raise up the waste places thereof, that saith of the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. A reference to Egypt, although in the context he's talking about Babylon, the conquering of Babylon. I will dry up thy rivers. He mixes these types together so that you understand that each of these fit together. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. All my pleasure. You say, does that mean our Cyrus Trump can't make any mistakes? Oh, no, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means that God's in control even when mistakes are made. And he wants to show his power in man's weakness even, you know. Even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built. Now remember, Jerusalem is the bride who is going to be used to bring about an atmosphere where that the bride will be put together. Is, well, God's going to use Trump to do that from a governmental standpoint, and from a spiritual and heavenly governmental standpoint, the man-child is. These two are running parallel. She shall be built, and of the temple thy foundation shall be laid. I'm going to come back here, but I'm going to jump to a dream Eve Brast had on 11-11-16. I dreamed that I was standing in the back of a press conference room, and there was a stage up front and a podium, and there were reporters seated in the chairs on the floor waiting for the president-elect to come and to give his acceptance speech. I could hear people all over the world cheering and celebrating their victory. Yes, anybody that had any common sense. But we can see that there is an enemy who has no common sense. We call them the stupid demons. Okay? And the term president-elect is used when he is elected to office but not yet inaugurated, right? So this is the very beginning of something that God says is a parallel. I'm going to point this out to you. I was expecting Donald Trump to come walking in, but instead, almost like I was given a glimpse of a parallel universe, David Eales came walking in from the right of the stage. Well, this is as a type of the David Manchild company of reformers. These are the real president-elect because they're caught up to the throne and exercise authority under Jesus on earth. Okay? The dominion is given unto them in Revelation chapter 12. Under Jesus, of course. He had four large bodyguards, which we call angels, dressed in white shirts and black suits with no ties. Yep, they don't need any ties. David was dressed in an ivory-colored suit and white shirt, and there were about 15 or 20 government agents gathered all around the podium. Of course, now, the David Manchild government agents, these are spiritual government agents, and these are the angels. And the angels, the agents, she said, were waiting for President-elect David to give them their orders. And that, of course, is to arrest the criminals in the government and church, among other things, all of which will come to pass. But it has to be spoken, right? God's given dominion unto his children, and it'll all come to pass. But we need to believe it first. We have to believe it and accept it and speak it, right? Speak to the mountain. All over the stage among the agents were many empty cardboard boxes that had been opened up and were ready to be packed up. And David stood at the podium. He began motioning with his index finger to each agent and giving them their orders one at a time. I don't believe that this is done in a physical way, but by exercising the authority in the spiritual realm. And we have seen many prayers. I started writing them down, but there were so many things that we pray in our morning prayer meetings that come to pass as we speak them, as we send forth the angels, which we were taught to do by the Lord, to send forth the angels to do this and to do that. Right here, he's telling you that, you know. I understood that he was sending them throughout Washington, D.C. to find all the evil, wicked people in the government and flush them out of their hiding places and send them packing. So we can just keep on doing that, saints, because it's still happening. The Red Sea is still taking them down. I then had a vision of corrupt government officials hiding under their desks in fetal positions. They were terrified and paralyzed with fear and couldn't function anymore. Yes, we thank you for that, Lord. Whenever they do function and their mind is working, which it is not, they're very destructive. And so, Lord, we thank you for sending confusion into their midst and even causing them to come against one another, kind of like this mini war between the NSA and the CIA that's going on. That's good. That's necessary. So let us, through the authority given to us, root out the corruption and send them packing, right? I also think, she said, the boxes represent the timing of the wilderness as well as sending the enemy and their evil vessels packing. And I believe this dream has two meanings. The elect corporate man-child is coming into power in the spiritual realm concurrently with Trump in the physical realm. And also, Father is confirming that the body of David has power to send forth the angels to expose the evil. And, of course, he is answering our prayers, and we thank the Lord for that. So, back to our text here. I just wanted to point out to you there's a parallel there. And in our text in Isaiah 45 and 1, it says, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed," which is the same word for Christos, you know, in the New Testament. It's his anointed. "To Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to to subdue nations before him. And, you know, God is doing that. For goodness sake, there are nations now that are turning from the way that they were going. Even amazingly, groups of Muslim nations, which Trump just met with, and twisted their arm to bring down terrorism, and they immediately went after a particular nation that was at the very root of terrorism. And it's just amazing what the Lord is doing. This is God, you know. This is God doing this. To subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings. To open the doors before him. And the gates shall not be shut. In the natural, of course, this is what happened. The gates going across the Euphrates River were breached because they diverted the Euphrates River enough to where the water went down and they were able to walk underneath the gates going across the river. Of course, there's gates on either shore, and they happened to be unlocked while they're in the middle of a war. Now, who'd have thunk it, you know? But the Lord said they would be, and they marched right on in and took over without a battle. And the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the rough places smooth. I will break in pieces the doors of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And that he did. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. You know, Trump's found ways to make money, including encourage the marketplace so that people start investing again and things like that. Everybody said it was going to crash before now. Now, I'm not doubting there's a crash coming. I think it could actually be at the time of Planet X and so on and so forth. But we'll see. At any rate, great treasures were given to him, hidden treasures. We haven't seen the end of that yet. That's going to continue to happen. They're going to find money that's been stashed and collect money that's been stolen and so on and so forth. And so what did Cyrus do, you know, when he came into office? Well, Ezra chapter 1 is the story of him sending the people of God out and empowering them, giving them the treasures of Babylon to go out and rebuild the kingdom. And Ezra chapter 1, it starts out with, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia." Now, isn't that interesting? Because it's also stated that way in Daniel 12. No, Daniel 1, let's see. 1 and 21. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. So there you have Daniel the man-child and Cyrus side by side. Okay? And here in Ezra chapter 1, the first thing he does is make proclamation for those who would to go back to the promised land and begin to rebuild the kingdom. And he gives them the treasures, the hidden treasures. So expect. Now, we haven't seen the completeness of Trump yet. We have seen that he has favored the people of God, just like Cyrus did. We have seen that he's leaning that way, and which is a very amazing thing, because he had the favor of the people of God and did favor the people of God. God put it into their hearts that Cyrus was on their side and that he favored them and that he supplied their needs to rebuild the kingdom. So back over there where we were. I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places. We already had a dream. Michael Hare had a dream like that, that they found a whole bunch of money hidden in the president's desk which had been Obama's desk. And I would say that underneath his dominion, there was there is money hidden that will be found. That thou mayest know that it is I, the Lord, who calleth thee by thy name, even the God of Israel. And if you remember, the story was that the high priests, when Cyrus invaded Babylon, the high priest showed him the book of the law and showed him his name there that had been written there long before he lived. And he was very impressed at what the Lord said about him and how the Lord was going to use him. And so the first thing he did was try to live up to that name of the God he respected there, you know, and to set the people free to go and rebuild. Even the God of Israel, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my chosen. So, Trump was put in office for Jacob his servant's sake. Jacob was Israel. We know that the things that happened unto them were for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come, and that they were for parables for us, and that God is fulfilling everything that is written. He's told us beforehand what he's going to do. As from Isaiah chapter 40 through 49, he says many times, how that I'm telling you this ahead of time so you'll know it's me, and that I tell you before I do it, and that history repeats. So basically, the Lord is going to repeat that several times through this revelation here. I have called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And I am the Lord, and there is none else. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. Interesting about from the west, because actually, obviously we're in the west, but Cyrus in the natural came to them from the north and from the east, and we'll explain that a little bit later. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light. I create the darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. Yes, he is. And I'm going to go down to verse 10 here. It says, woe unto him that saith unto a father, what begettest thou? Or to a woman, with what travailest thou? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker. Ask me of the things that are to come concerning my sons. Well, the first of the manifest sons is the man-child ministry, and their job is, of course, to bring the manifestation of sonship to the rest of the body, which is not familiar with this at all. And so he's talking here about those sons. Concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. That means all their hosts. I mean, God has charge over the vessels of honor and the vessels of dishonor. Some people say, are kind of offended that God could use a man that doesn't know God, not in the deepest sense. And I don't doubt that he's had a beginning revelation of the Lord, and has a lot to learn. But God can use anybody, and he's certainly using him. He said, and I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will make straight all of his ways. And he shall build my city, and he shall let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. And he certainly isn't doing it for reward. Isn't that amazing? And anyway, I just wanted to use that particular part to kind of introduce you to this revelation of parallels that I would like to look at. And let's see, from here let's go to Isaiah 40. Now I realize some people don't believe that this is Cyrus over in Isaiah 40, but that's okay. I do, so I'm going to share it with you. Isaiah 40, and we'll also look a little bit in Isaiah 41. I want to look at these parallels so that you understand that what we're seeing out there is what the Scripture speaks about. And, you know, first he talks about in Isaiah 39 about Babylon bringing God's people into captivity because of their rebellion and so on and so forth. But now he's acting as though the whipping is over and he's going to deliver his people. Comfort ye, 40 and 1. Comfort ye, my people. We received this recently in our morning prayer meeting. Saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. The bride has been in a warfare against a faction. Just as the faction is in the government, the same kind of faction using the same demons. Again, we can call them the stupid demons because, as you can see, they're so foolish they can't get anything straight. They don't get anything straight. They can't ever tell the truth. You know, just look at their false prophet, the media. Can't get anything right. Don't care about truth. Just care about destroying their mortal enemy, which is Trump. That's part of Babylon. That's conquering of Babylon. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. And everybody goes through a crucifixion process to get rid of that old man, right? And what he's talking about coming to here is the end of Babylonish captivity. First of all, for the bride, and second of all, for the people of God. The bride is Jerusalem. And this is going to be done in the physical realm through Cyrus, just as it's done in the spiritual realm through the man-child. Okay? She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The voice of one that crieth, prepare ye in the wilderness the way of the Lord. The wilderness, of course, again, applying the wilderness of Egypt, when God's people were set free from the Egyptians, just as they're being set free from the Babylonians, you know. Make level in the desert a highway for our God, a highway to Zion, the Bible calls it. Where is that? That's in the Promised Land. Why did Cyrus set the people of God free? To go to the Promised Land and rebuild. Exactly. So there is a parallel there. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low. Yes, God is good at exalting the humble and bringing down the proud. And the uneven shall be made level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Now here's a visitation. One thing we're going to find out when we read this story through different chapters, different books, that it's always talking about a visitation of the Lord. When the man-child is caught up to the throne of God, it's the throne of God over Israel, over God's people. It's the throne of David, it's called. It was said of Solomon when he sat on David's throne that he called it the throne of the Lord. He called the throne of David the throne of the Lord. Well, the man-child is being caught up to the throne of David, which is dominion over God's people on earth. Of course, under our Heavenly Father and under His Heavenly Son. So, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And that is the coming of the Lord, it's a visitation. He's coming glorified in his sons. Remember we talked about the sons? He's coming glorified first in his man-child, that anointing that's going to come upon the man-child. And it's going to be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord is going to do a wonderful thing. He is coming, but not the way they're thinking. And they were wrong the first time. And the Jews were wrong about the way in which Jesus was coming. The anointed was coming. The man-child was coming. They were wrong about it. And today, history is being repeated because God's people are wrong about it too. But it's going to be just like that. The Son of God coming in a body of the Son of David. It's going to be just like that. And when we talk about body in the New Testament, we're talking about a corporate body. Everything in the New Testament turns into corporate bodies. You know, history always repeats, but it repeats with larger groups of people, as the Lord told me many years ago. Down in verse 9, it says, O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, get thee up on a high mountain. O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. And Patty just received this back in 2016, this text right here. All of these texts that we're sharing, actually many of them were received in our morning meetings, amazingly. And let's see. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come as what? A mighty one. And his arm will rule for him. Now, you could say, okay, that's Cyrus, that would be true. And also you could say that's a man-child, that would be true. Because the Lord is, in Isaiah 45, he's coming in Cyrus. We'll read that sometime later. And behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. When the Lord comes, we've seen Bible codes, we've seen dreams, where that he comes after an asteroid strike on the earth that begins a ripple effect of earthquakes going across the earth. And we've discovered that the first earthquake on the east coast of the United States represents the death of the man-child, and the earthquake that happens at the New Madrid represents 3 days later the resurrection of the man-child as Jesus died with an earthquake and was resurrected with a great earthquake. So history, I believe, is going to repeat. These signs have been given, you know. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. Didn't the Lord say that? Didn't he get angry with the shepherds and their failure to feed his people and claimed that he was going to feed them himself, him and his servant David? Amen. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those that have their young. The same exact thing that was said about the people going into the wilderness, that he didn't push them to go fast because they had the young of their flock and their own young and that were weak, and they did not push them hard. He gently did it. Okay? So all this is talking about a visitation, which is the end of Babylonish captivity for God's people. And you remember at the Red Sea, there was the man-child, and there was the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, was taken out, and his army, and the man-child and his people went across and had a party on the other side. And they rejoiced that their enemies had been taken down. I'll say this too, that there's a spiritual aspect of that, because the Red Sea is also a baptism of the death of the old man. And I got to believe that God is going to do a wondrous thing in delivering his people from captivity. This faction thing is the same way. I believe that the time of that is going to be the end of the faction. The deliverance of God's people from their enemies who have chased them and tried to destroy them, etc., etc. Okay, I'm going to jump over to, I'm going to go to 40 and 31. No, I'm going to go to 29. Yeah. He giveth power to the faint, and to him that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the peoples renew their strength. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Of course, this is the visitation of the Lord and also the visitation of Cyrus to set God's people free. In the context, we're still talking about the fall of Babylon. Now, let me say this. Some people say, I thought Babylon lasted all the way to... Well, yes, it did, but let me say this. When Cyrus conquered Babylon, it was still called Babylon. The only thing is, it was under new leadership. Okay? And so, who hath raised up one from the east? That was Cyrus. Whom he calleth in righteousness to his foot. He giveth nations before him, and maketh him to rule over kings. He giveth them as the dust to his sword, as the driven stubble to his bow. He pursueth them and passeth on safely. He's still in safety, isn't he? Yeah. Even by a way that he had not gone with his feet. Now I want to say something to you about the safety of Trump. We've prayed for him times before whenever there was a threat to his life. And this coming week, I believe him meeting with Putin and all. And there's a rumor that some of his agents that are to protect him have been invaded by the enemy. And so, anyway, so we prayed against that. Now, see, God has a means to an end. I mean, we know he's going to be safe, but when God shows you something and you pray about it, that's how it comes to pass, right? God has a means to an end. His means, many places, is his people exercising their authority to say no to the devil. And in this case, also, no to the king of Babylon and all of his men, right? Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. Now, I'm going to jump on down a little bit. But thou, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I, that's verse 8, have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken hold of from the ends of the earth, and called from the corners thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Well, to them they had been cast away into Babylon, but now God was delivering them. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God didn't bring us to this point to destroy us. He brought us to this point to begin something very great and wonderful, and that is the rebuilding of his kingdom. And everything is going to serve him to that end. Everything. Every vessel of dishonor, everything is going to serve him to that end. Concerning his sons, he said. You know. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be put to shame. Now, this is obviously the Babylonians. And so far, that's been exactly what happened. They've been put to shame. Their innermost wicked dealings have been put all over the world, but they're too conscienceless to worry about it too much. They have no conscience. We've had the same thing with the faction in the church. They have no conscience. So that really doesn't bother them. They can say stupid things and justify themselves every time. I'm talking about the news media, the mainstream media, you know. And behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be put to shame. Are they being put to shame? Absolutely. And confounded. Oh, are they confounded? Yes, they are confounded. And they that strive with thee shall be as nothing and shall perish. Is this happening? Yes. They're dwindling down to nothing. The mainstream media is destroying itself with its own lies. Praise be to God. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Well, it sure seems like that's exactly where we're headed. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Again, that's Israel, which is the type of the church. Israel is the Old Testament church, and the church is the New Testament church, right? But everything in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, says the Lord, and thy Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Now, what were they being redeemed from? From bondage to the old man. Bondage to the beast. That's what we're redeemed from, right? And God's people are under the bondage of Babylonish religion, which is under the bondage of Babylonish governments. So here we go. Behold, I have made thee to be a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Did you know that that's who we are? Going to cut down some straw here, folks. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. Thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. Just like they did kind of on the other side of the Red Sea, right? They had a party. They had a celebration. And so it will be. The poor and the needy seek water, and there is none. Do you remember when they went into the wilderness? Now, of course, God is applying this to their coming out of Babylon. And again, he's talking about coming out of Egypt. He's using history to point out to them this. They seek water, and there is none. You remember one of their big trials at the very beginning of the wilderness was they didn't have any water. You know, some of them wanted to return to Egypt immediately. You can imagine him facing this desolate wilderness, and God saying, yep, just keep on marching, guys. But there's no water out there. There wasn't. They went to Marah, which is bitter, and the waters were bitter. And then they went on down. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's just read it on down. Here it says, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. He didn't. He gave them water in the wilderness. Matter of fact, he said here in verse 18, I will open rivers on the bare heights. Isn't that exactly what he did? Out of a rock that was smitten, he had a river coming out of it. It's been found, it is proven to have happened. I will open rivers on the bare heights. Water tables don't go up that high when you got nothing but rocks, you know. They leak somewhere. So how did God manage this? He had obviously prepared it, you know. And fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water. Isn't that awesome? He did that. Moses got, by the grace of God, but got water out of the rock. How astounding. And I make the wilderness a pool of water. You know, I'm going to point out to you one of the verses that we just got. Miss Patty got that one. And it's Psalm 144. Let me read that and I'll come back here. And this is all about a visitation as Cyrus at Babylon. And earthquakes that happen at the Red Sea. Oh my goodness. God's putting together types here and telling you when things are going to happen and where. A timeline, you know. Psalm 114. When Israel went forth out of Egypt. And of course that's what he's talking about there in the midst of them coming out of Babylon. So the house of Jacob from a people of strange language. Once again, same thing. And as we are in this nation and in this world, strangers, pilgrims, and we're coming out from under these the dominion of the old man, the wicked, the most evil government that I guess the world has ever seen, for goodness sake. A people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. Now notice that. Israel became his sanctuary. He dwelt in Judah. In fact, in the bride, in Jerusalem, is where he dwelt in the midst of Judah. Israel was his dominion. And this is a true parable of the people of God. There are people of God who are part of Israel. And there are people of God who are part of Judah. And there are people of God who are in the capital city of Jerusalem under David, the man-child ministry. And the sea saw it and fled. There's that parting of the Red Sea. And the Jordan was driven back. Now he's comparing the Jordan, you know, which was a later separation on the other side of the wilderness. The mountains skipped like rams. Sounds like an earthquake, doesn't it? The little hills like lambs. What aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleest? So when the Lord parted the Red Sea, it fled. It fled just long enough for Pharaoh to think he could cross it, like the people of God did, which was a very foolish thing. I mean, that's stupid demons if you ever saw them, right? The God who parted the Red Sea so that they could flee through it, and you're going to follow them in there? I would say you need to kiss their feet. O thou sea, what that thou fleest, thou Jordan, that thou turnest back. See, there was no water in their way when they went to the promised land. It then got in their way, it moved. Ye mountains, ye skip like rams, you little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth. There's the earthquakes. At the presence of the Lord, oh my goodness, the Lord is coming. His presence is going to be seen. His glory is going to be seen by every eye. All over the earth, the man-child ministry will move. It will do the miracles of Jesus. It will raise up the church into the church it used to be, which was a supernatural church full of the gifts of the Spirit, and so on and so forth. Signs and wonders and miracles are going to happen in this great revival to bring the people of God continually out of Babylonish religion to follow the Lord. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water. Oh, there it is. Turn the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Isn't that just what it said? Back over where we were, verse 18. Isaiah 41. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, the dry land springs of water. I will put in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. And I will set in the desert the fir tree, the pine, the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Isn't this awesome? And the trees are types of people, that we know. He's put together in the wilderness. He brought all of his different kinds of people out into the wilderness to go and find the Lord, right? I think I'm going to read a little bit further down here. Produce your cause, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and declare unto us what shall happen. Declare ye the former things, what they are, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. Okay, notice that. He's saying it in a different way, but it's the same thing. Declare the former things so we know what's coming. We know the latter end of them. Now we're reading all about Cyrus, and the Lord has told us, yep, this is Cyrus. Okay, and yep, the man-child is running parallel to Cyrus, we just found. Because as you know, whenever there was a king over the beast kingdom, there was a Daniel there, there was a Joseph there, Joseph in Egypt, Daniel in Babylon, there was a man-child there to give guidance to that king. I'm telling you, I know that it's happening in the spirit as the man-child prays for Trump or Cyrus. God is answering those prayers. And as the man-child binds back the forces of darkness, there is a great mass of witches, of Satanists, that are doing everything they can to bring Trump down and failing miserably. They, basically contacted the Satanists all over the world to curse Trump. And they just showed that they don't have any power over the Lord God. But, of course, we do bind those demons of witchcraft and faction away from Trump and foolishness away from Trump and all the things that they're trying to do to curse him. We have authority to cast that down, and we're doing it. So let's do it. That we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or show us things to come. And that's exactly what he's doing by showing us this history, things to come. Declare the things that are to come hereafter. By doing what? By showing us the former things. That we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Well, they're trying very hard to do evil. I mean, give them some credit here. You know, they gathered all the witches around the world to try to curse him and it failed. So give them a little credit. They're trying real hard. Usually they have power when it's permitted by God. In this case, they don't. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work is of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. That's right. I've raised up one from the north. Now, remember the verse we just got through reading over in 41 and 2. Who hath raised up one from the east, whom he calleth in righteousness, to his foot. And now he says, I have raised up one from the north, and he is come from the rising of the sun. That's the east. Of course, that's where Cyrus in the natural came from, the north and the east. That calleth upon my name, and he shall come upon rulers as upon mortar. Mortar isn't much, you know. It's mostly sand and concrete, and it's very weak. As the potter treadeth clay, who hath declared it from the beginning, that we may know, and before time, that we may say he is right. Yes, he is right, and we see it now. Isn't it a glorious thing to see that God's already written it in history? The things that have been are the things that shall be. I am the first that saith unto Zion, Behold, behold them. I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. And when I look, there is no man, even among them there is no counselor, that when I ask of them can answer a word. Behold, all them, their works are vanity and naught. Their molten images are wind and confusion. And wonderful thing is that God was using all this to set his people free, and he is today. Okay? So, I'm going to continue on proving this point to you. Let's look at Isaiah 43. What I'd like to do is make these points and then come back and read these chapters and look at them more carefully. Isaiah 43. Remember that this is the deliverance from Babylon. Cyrus at the Red Sea. You see the parallels there? The Babylonians are sunk like Pharaoh. Actually down in verse 14, but I'm going to start in verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. What did he redeem them from? The house of bondage to the old man, the dominion of the wicked world. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine, and when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Yes, he was. He was with them as they passed through the Red Sea, right? And Moses was right there in the lead, passing through the Red Sea here, man-child. I will be with thee, and through the rivers, and they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, which I think is probably a word that represents something that is coming in our day, thou shalt not be burned. They had the pillar of fire, but we got Planet X coming, and we're going to go through the tail, and there's going to be lots of fireballs, and guess what? Not a one of them is going to hit these people. Can you imagine? When the hail, the curse of hail, which was hail fire, Moses walked out of the throne room of Pharaoh, right through the midst of it. Not one of them hit him. And then he stopped that. Can you imagine? Yeah, I mean, he could have stopped it right there next to Pharaoh, but no, he had to go walk through it and then stop it. That just shows you how much dominion God has over everything, you know. Walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So just remember that, folks, when you see fireballs falling from the sky. Make sure your conscience is right with God and you're in his will and you're loving your neighbors and you've forgiven everybody and things like that. It'll make you safe, right? For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And I have given Egypt as thy ransom. In other words, this was a price that God paid to save his sons, right? Egypt. He gave Egypt in the Red Sea. He gave Egypt in the Passover for his people. They were the ransom. Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead. Since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men in thy stead. Well, the Passover was like that. He gave men in their stead, and peoples instead of thy life. He delivered his people. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. And I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Every one that is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yea, whom I have made. And we've received texts just like this many times in our morning meetings, because God is building Jerusalem to be a head and a dominion over God's people who are going to come from all over the world to his promised land. I'm not talking about a physical land. I'm talking about to his promised land. The man-child ministries are going to be all over the earth. But he created them for his glory, literally, so that his glory would be in them. That was his cause. That's what he's desired from the beginning, the manifestation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't God good? Let's see where I'm going to go from here. I think I'm going to go down to verse 14. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer. Again, they're being redeemed from bondage to the old man, right? The old man of the land, representing the flesh. Can you imagine when they got to the other side of the Red Sea, if that was a baptism and the old man died, and now they weren't living in bondage to the old man anymore? Think about it. How great a thing it is that God's going to set his people free so that they can come into unity to go into the wilderness. That's a mighty miracle. I've seen that happen before, but I don't have time to talk to you about it. How you can bring a bunch of different denominational people together, and yet God gave them peace to sit and to listen to the word and to come into one accord. I have seen that, and it's a miracle. Because you know how different religions are, how religious spirits are. They want to keep the body divided and so on and so forth. Verse 14 says, and thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I will bring down all of them as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, in the ships of their rejoicing. Well, they were certainly rejoicing. They just knew they had the kingdom. They just knew Hitlery was going to make it, and they would all be happy because they were plundering America, and they were plundering America's children, and they were full of witches, and they were full of Satanists, and they were just rejoicing in the power that they received by sacrificing little children and all these things. The Lord is bringing them down. And they're scared to death that this is all going to catch up to them. And it is. It is going to catch up to them. And I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, who maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. There it is again. In verse 2, he said, thou passest through the waters, I'll be with you. It won't overcome you, right? And he'll give Egypt in thy stead, and men in the stead of thy life. Who bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man, they lie down together, they shall not arise. They are extinct, they are quenched as a wick. Are you catching on here that Trump and what happened with the map, that red map, that we're still going to the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his army is still being overwhelmed, is still happening. Praise be to God. You keep it going, folks. You through your prayers, he's given you dominion. You, through your prayers, keep it going. Keep the enemy, you know, on the run. Just keep it up. Keep it up. Every time you see something, I don't say get out there and study all that stuff. You know, it's not necessary. Sometimes I just read headlines to see if there's something new, and then I pray. I can even pray the headline. I don't even have to read the thing sometimes. First of all, they're going to try to convince you how bad it is in many cases, and you don't need that. You need to know how good it is. I'm telling you how good it is right here out of the good book. So it's good. Don't be convinced of how bad and hopeless it is. Be convinced that you got authority and start tearing down the devil's kingdom. Pray and exercise faith. That's why we're studying this, so you'll be confident that you're in the will of God, right? And yes, we will conquer this dominion. They shall not arise. They are extinct. They are quenched as a wick. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. In other words, it's not what happened back over there. It's not just a story that you tell your kids about, the Red Sea, you know. That thing is coming in our day. That's a new thing to us. Okay. Behold, I will do a new thing. How now shall it spring forth? Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, think about the poor people that don't have the foggiest idea what's going to happen, because the only thing they know is the letter and nothing in the spirit. And by all means, in any kind of crook they can come up with, and every kind of crooked doctrine they can come up with to escape this place and miss the tribulation. Listen to what God says about the wilderness, you know, which the New Testament in Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 speaks of the wilderness as the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years of the tribulation. And people just make up these crazy doctrines just so they can escape. Well, folks, that's where you're going to get purified. That's where you're going to come into the image. That's where the glory is going to come upon you. That's the place you need to go. I dare say people that leave this earth before going there, a good many of them are not going to go to God, because they've got another religion, another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. So this is important. Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom of God. There's only one place you can enter the kingdom. You can't enter it up there in the sky. You must enter it on this earth. Okay. I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. You know, if we drink these rivers of living water that the Lord has given unto us out of his own mouth, then out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive. If you don't want the Spirit, well, then you're not believing on him, because he said, if you believed on him, you'll speak with other tongues, which is the initial gift and identification of the filling of the Spirit. So, you know, I'm sorry, but you're about a lot of people out there. The overwhelming majority of Christianity has never been filled with the Holy Spirit. But going into the wilderness, we know that there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit. There's a revival that happens right there. They're baptized in the sea and in the cloud. The Holy Spirit is the cloud. And so there's a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on God's people, so that they may run through the wilderness, so that they may have understanding, that the Holy Spirit can lead them. Right now they're in bondage to their mind and religious people that want to take advantage of them and get rich off of them and so on and so forth. They've been plundered. God's people have been plundered by these false prophets. The people which I form for myself, that they might set forth my praise. Oh, glory to God. Well, let me go a little bit further here. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 49. And let me see. I want to go... Well, this is awesome. All of this is so good, I just don't know where to start. I'm going to start in verse 12. Now, it's talking about Edom. The Edomites have always been the enemies of God's people. They've done everything to trip them up, just as Esau did Jacob, who was Israel. And today we have Edomites who are among what people think are the seed of Abraham. But they hate their brother. And they've sold their birthright through a root of bitterness, as Paul said. And so they're out there. Now we see the Edomites out there in the world too. They have hatred for people, anybody that's not them. They'll kill you. They'll mass murder you. They think nothing of it. They'll rape all the women in Europe if they can get a chance to do it. These are just the lowest scum on the face of the earth. They just need Jesus. That's all. Jesus is the one that cleans up scum. Right? So Edom is going to be destroyed. You remember in Ezekiel 37 where the Lord said that he was going to free his people from their shepherds, their wicked shepherds, and put them under David. The very next thing is David is conquering Edom, Ezekiel 38. And we know that when the Davids come, like the sign in the heavens on September the 23rd, that the very next thing is going to be a destruction of Edom. What will this look like? Well, I'm thinking it's going to look like that the Davids are going to come against those spirits in the Edomites. That spirit of hatred and faction and witchcraft. And many people are going to be set free. Others, I don't think they're going to be set free. I think that they're going to be turned over to reprobation. But at any rate, this is what we're looking at here, and the timing is, again, I would say, coming very quickly. So where did I say I was going to start? Verse 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they to whom it pertaineth not to drink of the cup shall assuredly drink. Now he's talking about these wicked people, these angry people, which we see on a governmental level, in the worldly level, and we see in the church. And they're all from the dragon, all of them from the dragon. So they think that they're going to escape the cup. They're gleefully trying to destroy the people of God, but of course the only ones that they can get is the people like them. That's a part of the cleansing of the body of the bride. It's necessary. And so these people think that it's not pertaining unto them to drink the cup, but they're wrong. They shall assuredly drink. And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink. For I have sworn by myself, says the Lord, that Bozrah was the sheepfold in Edom. The sheepfold in Edom, right? Shall become an astonishment. So the little groups of people out there, they're preying upon God's people, there'll be an astonishment. A reproach, a waste, and a curse. And all the cities thereof shall be perpetual waste. And I have heard tidings from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the nations, saying, gather yourselves together and come against her, and rise up to the battle. For behold, I have made thee small among the nations, and despised among men. And as for thy terribleness, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee. O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock. Now that's Edom, you know, that dwelt in the cleft of the rock, right? That holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle. That kind of might represent physical government Edomites, right? I will bring thee down from thence, says the Lord, and Edom shall become an astonishment. Every one that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at the plagues thereof. You remember when David was anointed, he put garrisons in Edom. He conquered Edom, put garrisons in Edom. And that is just a type and a shadow of what's coming from the man-child. And in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities thereof, says the Lord, no man shall dwell there, neither shall any son of man sojourn therein. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the pride of the Jordan against the strong habitation, for I will suddenly make them run away from it. This is, well, as I read on down, you're going to see the Red Sea earthquake again, and the Davids, and you're going to see Trump as Cyrus. And he says here, and whosoever is chosen, him will I appoint over it. So the Lord let the Edomites rule somewhat in order to capture the people who were sinners in Zion and to deliver them to bondage. And that was just a temporary thing, because then he's going to turn his people loose and give them the anointing. And him, and whoso is chosen, him will I appoint over it. For who is like unto me, and who will appoint me a time, and who is the shepherd whom he called who? That's right, Cyrus, Trump. And who is the shepherd that will stand before me? And that's, of course, a parallel of Trump and the man-child. And therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely they shall drag thee away, even the little ones of the flock. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate over them. Verse 21. The earth trembleth at the noise of their fall. Remember, we just saw the trembling of the earth. It happens at the time of the man-child. It happens at the time of the Red Sea, we just saw. The earth trembleth at the noise of their fall. That's the Edomites. There is a cry, the noise whereof is heard in the Red Sea. Oh, there it is again. An earthquake at the Red Sea that takes out the Edomites. Now, this was the Red Sea, of course, was a long time before this. The Edomites were, they were enemies to God's people. But notice God is mixing parables again. He's mixing types together again so that we can see how they fit together. It's pretty neat. The earth trembleth at the noise of their fall. There is a cry, the noise whereof is heard in the Red Sea. And behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle, and spread out his wings against Bozrah. Well, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Trump's in control of the military, and increasingly he's becoming in more and more control over the government, and he's not going to fail according to the scriptures, because the Lord is the one that is empowering him. And he's going to come as the eagle and spread out his wings against Bozrah. That's the sheepfold of the Edomites. Whether you talk about the ones in the government, in the physical government, or the ones in the spiritual government of God's church, as they call it. None of the people that are Edomites in the church are in the church, because they're not the called out ones. They're not coming out. And they're going the opposite way. They're going into more and more corruption and sin and degradation. All this is to hopefully grant, bring them to a place of repentance. Some of them will come to repentance and be greatly humbled. So the eagle is going to come against Bozrah, the sheepfold. That's what it means. And the heart of the mighty men of Edom at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. Mm-hmm. So we see, again, we can lay other things parallel. We wanted to know when the end of this degradation and corruption in the government and in the church is, when is this going to end? Well, now we're looking at it. We see a parallel here that is going to happen at the Red Sea with the earthquakes starting, which I believe is involved in Planet X's entrance. Ain't it cool how God has put all these things here for us to understand? Let's go to Jeremiah 51. Let's see. Again, this is talking about the judgment of Babylon. So we'll see what kind of parables he mixes in here. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to read verse 11. Make sharp the arrows, hold firm the shields. The Lord has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, because, and that's Cyrus, right? Because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. For it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Why is it the vengeance of his temple? Well, because the Babylonians destroyed the temple of God, and the temple of God are ye, Paul said, right? There is no unity in the church, and the church has not come out. They're all in bondage to Babylon, which is a parable of apostasy. So how could they be the temple, right? Because it's been destroyed by the Babylonians, right? And the Lord has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, right, to bring an end to this. Set up a standard against the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong, and the watchmen prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both purposed and done that which he spoke concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. Well, you know what? I don't think God needs anybody to ambush Babylon. They ambush themselves. I mean, time after time. but obviously the Lord is doing this to bring them down before Cyrus, before Trump. And so that the people of God will see that they owe no allegiance to this Babylonish America, and all allegiance to the God who is delivering them out from under that dominion. Right. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, the measure of thy covetousness. Yes, the Babylonish entity is coming to an end. Those that have ruled over Babylon pre-Trump. The Lord, now I realize that there's other parables that you can see here. You know, I'm just pointing one out to you that I think is true. And if you only think there's one parable in any of this, you're wrong. because God can just show us so many things. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. So he loves to show us things, you know. The measure of thy covetousness, the Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with a cankerworm, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. It's coming down. The corrupt CIA, NSA, etc., etc., the corruption that's in there that has ruled over this country underneath the elite is coming down. Tremble, you elite. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding hath he stretched out the heavens. Let me see. I'm going to go down to verse 18. They are vanity, a work of delusion. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. He's talking about their idols. In the time of their visitation. Again, the visitation is coming. The Lord is coming, not the way they suspect. He's coming in the body of the son of David. He is coming in Cyrus. These two are going to cooperate to bring down this Babylonish entity. They shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, and with thee will I break in pieces the nations. Who is it that God is going to use on this earth to break in pieces the nations? Well, we discovered the man child, we discovered Trump. Now he's talking about his people, Israel, the tribe of his inheritance. See, we've been raised up to exercise dominion. When God's people figure out that they've got dominion, they're going to start exercising it. And we're going to see great victories as far as people coming into the kingdom. Because there's so many people in bondage, even in what we loosely call the church. There's so many people there in Babylonish captivity. They need someone to come to them and share the good gospel with them so they can be set free, right? With thee will I break in pieces the nations. With thee will I destroy kingdoms. With thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. The Bible speaks about the man-child overthrowing the throne of kingdoms. Let me say that before this Red Sea is over, there's going to be thrones of kingdoms overthrown. And I do believe that Planet X will be part of that. It will come and bring devastation and overthrow the throne of kingdoms. With thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. There it is, Egypt. But we're talking about Babylon again. You know? With thee will I break in pieces the chariot and him that rideth therein. And with thee will I break in pieces man and woman. With thee will I break in pieces the old man and the youth. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the virgin. And with thee will I break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. Let's see how far I'm going to go with this. And with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces the governors and deputies. And I will render unto Babylon and to the inhabitants of the Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. Governors and deputies, with thee I will break in pieces these nations, these wicked, these that ride in their chariots to the Red Sea. With thee. The Lord's going to use you. You speak the word, right? You stand and speak the word. And the angels will bring it to pass, because it is written. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, says the Lord, which destroyest all the earth. Oh gosh, that does fit America. America's gone from nation to nation and used up their resources and plundered them, and so on and so forth. Just plain old greed and avarice, right? I will stretch out my hand upon thee and roll thee down from the rocks and will make thee a burnt mountain. So, verse 28, he says again, prepare against her the nations, the kings of the Medes and the governors thereof. and all the deputies. In other words, Cyrus, right? The bear, right? Oh, glory to God. And let's see. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 50. I'm going to read 23 through 38. Once again, the story is Babylon being destroyed, Israel being delivered, their church being delivered. Just remember, folks, we're heading towards the other side of the Red Sea. When we get there, we're going to have a party because they're not going to be chasing us no more. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? Well, that's Babylon. That's who he's talking about. How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken. O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. And they weren't aware. They had no idea. They were about to lose their dominion, their hero, Hitlery. They didn't have any idea she was going to lose because they were cheating the very best that they could, and it's always worked in the past. But she was cheating against Trump, and I don't know if y'all watched the election results and watched them switch as soon as God's people started praying. I mean, they had put her up top and him down low, and they equally swapped whenever God's people cried out to God. And God just wanted people to see that. You know, they cheated all they could. It just wasn't enough, right? Thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. Yes, they're going to be caught. And Hitler's going to jail. The Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation, for the Lord of hosts hath a work to do in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the uttermost border. Open her storehouses. Cast her utterly. Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of hers be left. Slay all her bullocks, let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. Well, there it is again. The time of Babylon's visitation. Visitation of who? Visitation of the Lord. He is coming, like Jesus in the man-child, like Cyrus. The time of the visitation. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon, to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon, all them that bend the bow and camp against her round about. Let none thereof escape. Just remember this. The Cyrus invasion of Babylon was cheered by God's people. They were happy. It was a good thing. In the natural, people have thought that if America's Babylon, it would be a bad thing to be conquered by the Medo-Persians. But in this parable, it's a good thing, because Cyrus was the one who set God's people free. He was actually welcomed in Babylon, because the people of Babylon did not like their king. I don't know if you noticed that when Obama went out there to stump for Hillary, he was shocked to find that he had no following. Good thing, huh? Of course, everybody prayed that that would be the case, and it was. And camp against her round about, let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she had done, do unto her. Oh, gosh, now, the people who did these dirty deeds in the government are going to reap what they've sown? Yes, yes, that's exactly right. That's what he's saying. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Yes, they did everything. They hated Christians with a passion. They wanted to fill the land. They would rather have Muslims that would come in and rape and pillage and do all these things as soon as they came to a position of dominion. They would rather have them than the Christians because they're totally antichrist. And, of course, God saved us. He overruled. God's people cried out to him. Many repented, and he overruled. And they were proud against the Lord and against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore shall her young men fall in her streets, and all of her men of war shall be brought to silence. Oh, that's wonderful. Love to hear some silence out of them, wouldn't you? Well, it's coming. Shall be brought to silence. Before the end of the Red Sea, you're going to see them brought to silence. In that day, says the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O thou proud one, says the Lord of hosts, for thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee. Well, we thank you, Lord, for that. We invite you to come, Lord, with your visitation and bring the judgment that is necessary and bring the revival that is coming that we so long to see, we've so cried out to you for, Lord, outpouring of your Spirit on your people who love you and keep your commandments. Oh, thank you, Lord. Please come and do a quick work, Lord. Boy, I tell you, that first 100 days things, it was just wonderful, okay? I believe we're looking at more of that for the next few months. And the proud one shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. Oh my, it sounds like the mainstream media, sounds like Hillary, sounds like Obama. And they have really, you know, fallen. I mean, they pipe up every once in a while, but the threat against them is tremendous. And they don't know what to do about it. They're trembling. They're under those desks in the fetal position. Yes, they're killing as many people as they can. They still aren't, you know, making it. So the proud one shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in the cities, and it shall devour all that are round about him. Woo-hoo. Oh, Lord, you are so good. I praise you. Thank you so much, Father. Okay, I'm going to look at Jeremiah 17. I'm going to read, let's see. Now, this is important. Let's see, I'm going to read verse 19. Probably through maybe the end of the chapter there. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. So, I mean, the gates, of course, are the gates that, of the bride over which the dominion of David ruled. He said, thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day. Of course, we know in the New Testament there is a sabbatismos. It's a different word, but they use the word Sabbath. So people don't actually understand what's being said there. It's a continual Sabbath, not a day anymore. It is the day, the seventh day, the day of rest. 7,000-year day that we've entered into. Okay. And we have to cease from our works. The Lord is calling us to cease from all of our works. That you bring, nor bring in it by the gates of Jerusalem. In other words, no burden on the Sabbath day into the gates of Jerusalem. None of your works in the bride, is what he's saying. That's what it takes to enter the bride. You know how beautiful the bride is in Esther and Song of Solomon, Psalm 45. You know, she's the greatest among all of the virgins and queens and concubines. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day. So none of the works of man are permitted. It is a Sabbath. It is a ceasing from our works. It is a holy day. God's works can be done, but man's works cannot be done. The Pharisees didn't know that. When Jesus went about healing and doing things, they accused him of breaking the Sabbath. But he said, no, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. That means if you're following him, you're keeping the Sabbath, right? He was the Lord of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man, right? Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they hearkened not, neither inclined their ear. Now this is what got them destroyed, their city destroyed, their temple destroyed. They hearkened not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear and might not receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently hearken unto me, says the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but to hallow the Sabbath day, to work therein, to do no work therein, then shalt there enter in by the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David. There will be Davids in places where God's people are not doing their own thing and calling themselves the church, the called out ones, right? There will be Davids. There will be many spread over this earth. And it will be a wonderful thing to have a David to follow into the wilderness, because they know what they're doing. They can multiply the fishes and the loaves like Jesus did in the wilderness. They are God's provision for his people in the coming days, as Moses was when they got to the Red Sea. Well, God through Moses fixed it, you know, whatever it was, whatever the problem was. When they got to the water well, he did that too. Everything they needed, God used the man-child ministry to provide for the people in the wilderness. Okay? Then shall there enter in, if you'll cease from your works and keep his spiritual New Testament Sabbath, not the letter Sabbath, it's a parable of the good things to come, right? By the gates of this city, kings and princes sitteth upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever. That's the city that's going to be forever. That is the heavenly Jerusalem where there is no works of man. Ezekiel's temple. No uncircumcised in heart could enter that temple. Now, that's not a physical temple. I don't care what they say. It's not a physical temple. Every temple they build, there's going to be uncircumcised in heart people in it. But that one, not one uncircumcised in heart could enter it. So said their man-child, Ezekiel, the one who was caught up to the throne. This city shall remain forever. This is the eternal bride, the capital city of God's people. And they shall come from the cities of Judah, and from the places round about Jerusalem, and from the land of Benjamin, and from the lowland, and from the hill country, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meal offerings and frankincense, and bringing sacrifices of thanksgiving unto the house of the Lord. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, and enter in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Now let me say, there's two Jerusalems. There's the true bride and the false bride. There is the capital city that ruled over God's people that is apostate, that we see out there now. And there is a heavenly new leadership coming. That one is eternal. The one that's passing away, it has to die in order for this rebirth to take place. Born from above. The bride and the New Jerusalem is born from above. The New Jerusalem is not as a lot of people suspect. But he does promise that we will be a part of that if we will cease from our works and enter into his rest through faith in his promises. So there's a lot of people out there that they haven't ceased from their works. They're still doing things the same old way they used to do them. And they don't walk by faith. The rest comes by faith. He that hath believed doth enter in to that rest. That is a ceasing from your works on his sabbatismos, which is every day. We have to cease from our works every day. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live, the Lord says. So, not everybody. I know that there was a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt to go into the wilderness. And they were a stumbling block to God's people. And God smote them. Many of them died, or all of them died in the wilderness. And they carried others with them who were tempted and tested and failed and cried out in the midst of their trials and murmured. You know all the things that they went through. The wilderness, the tribulation, is to do for the church what God has already done for the bride. You know, he has brought the wicked against the bride to see who would stumble and fall or who would stand. What the bride has already gone through in preparation for this dominion, what the man-child has already gone through in preparation for this dominion, is also going to be on the church. The church has to go through much tribulation. Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. And so, this is a good thing. This is going to sanctify a body. It won't be as big a body as it is now. And the bride is not as big a body as it was before this testing. But the Lord said, let the tares grow up with the wheat. Then he'll send forth his angels and gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But they had to grow together until the harvest. And so we're in the separation part now. The angels are separating the bride right now. In the wilderness, God's going to use them to separate the church. And this process is going to cleanse a holy body, just as it has the bride in these days and leading up to the coming of the man-child. God is preparing this bride for the coming of the man-child. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Those disciples were following Jesus because they were prepared of God to do that. Not that they were perfect in soul, but they were innocent and perfect in spirit, and prepared to follow the Lamb and to learn much and to live a crucified life and so on. So we've got a time of sanctification now that's coming to an end for those who are going to be chosen to be in this bride. And another beginning for the people of the church to go through a sanctification to learn exact same things and manifest the exact same fruit as the bride, right? We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Star glory, moon glory, sun glory. We're coming into the glory image of the glory of the Lord. This is His plan from the beginning, is that we would be Christians, which means Christ-like. Well, I dare most of the church to say they're Christ-like. They don't believe what He said. They're not going by His rules. They're obeying religion. You must come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch the unclean thing, and I'll be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. Come out from among them. Be separate. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. The shepherds that the Lord was so angry with that He said He was going to deliver His sheep out of their mouth and turn them over to David, which is a representation of the man-child ministry. This is about to happen. Saul is going to die. I'm talking about spiritually die. Reprobation, turning to witchcraft, which he did. He is the old leadership that does not want to repent and change and submit to God. And he's going to lose his battle with the Philistines, which is the old man of the land. The Philistines, remember, we were to conquer all of the old man of the land and take their houses and dwell in them and raise our crops. The old man is your flesh. Saul lost the battle with his flesh. He was killed on Mount Gilboa with his whole family there, right? With his sons there, not his whole family, but his sons there. And so we're going to see that. The church doesn't know that their leadership is dead, but they're going to see that. And the closer we get to the anointing of David, the more they're going to die. And because all types and shadows will be fulfilled, history must repeat, and it's coming very fast. So, you know, we thank the Lord that He is going to raise up a holy church that will be very careful to get out of their own works, which is what all religion is about, their own works, and follow the Lord. Father, thank You so much for this day, and Lord, we're going to continue to support Trump in prayer and in faith every day. And Lord, prepare the way for the man-child ministry to come and purify the sons of Levi. That is the true priesthood of God's people here who are sacrificing the flesh daily. Lord, we thank You for that in Jesus' name. We're going to pray for the man-child, as we've been told recently. Pray for the man-child. The devil seriously wants to kill them. Just like Herod, you know, he tried to get Jesus and missed Him. And, of course, they're going to miss Him this time, too. But many of Jesus' brethren were killed there. And so we know that the dragon is seeking to devour the man-child, so we're praying for the man-child, that he will overcome and not die in the midst of the tribulations. Thank you so much, Father, for the victory that you've given to us, the victory you've given to the man-child and the bride and the people of God who are going to walk out of Babylon, walk into the wilderness, a place of a trial of our faith, but victorious and wondrous miracles and signs and wonders and provisions. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this great thing that you're doing. Thank you, Father, for having mercy upon your people. Thank you for drawing us unto yourself. Lord, we can do nothing without you. We are learning that lesson. We can do nothing without you. So, Lord, we put our trust in you to work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. We thank you so much, Lord, for your mercy and grace towards us, in that you're doing this for your name's sake, not because your people have been holy or walked holy, but we're doing it for your name's sake, because your name is going to be great in all of the earth. All right, thank you, saints. God bless you so much, and keep us in your prayers, and we'll do the same. Good night.